Okay, this is our third lesson in Biblical Thoughts. These lessons are designed that you might take a thought and it might become somewhat applicable to you as a believer as we soldier on in 2021. I'd like you to take your Bible to Matthew chapter 4, and I'm going to read you to probably a lot of you as a familiar verse where we have Jesus Christ at the beginning of his earthly ministry, the one who took on God, who became incarnate in the flesh, now begins the earthly ministry. And Jesus Christ is led into the wilderness by the Spirit, capital S, and he's taken, God leads him into a place where he is to be tempted of the devil. Now understand that the devil is a created being, a being that was where iniquity was found in him first in heaven, and he was cast out of heaven, and he now becomes, as we know, the God of this world. Here now Christ is before the devil, and the devil opposes a question to the Lord and tempts him and says, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And of course, the emphasis is on bread and not the words of God. Understand, Satan does not speak the words of God, but Jesus Christ does. And in verse 4, "But he answered," this is the Lord, "and said, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now, if you trusted the Lord as your Savior, and he is the one you're trusting, I want you to listen to what he said to you. He said to us as believers, man should not live by bread alone. See, bread alone is not enough. As much as you would like to think we can have all the things in the world and we can somehow fulfill the need in us by bread alone, the Lord says it's just not enough. And I think we need to keep this in mind, especially as we're heading off now into 21. And it's just not enough. Understand that when Jesus Christ makes this statement, he makes it to Satan while he is in a weakened state. And while he is weakened state, he actually has no bread while he's out there in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. But Jesus says, "But every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, Jesus, so this is a statement that I think you and I as believers need to take down in our hearts and minds and understand the importance of every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, Jesus said it, but I want you to also realize that Job said this. Now, Job, the book of Job, if you go to the book of Job to chapter 23, if you consider the book of Job, is the oldest written book written before or prior to after the flood. But I want you to understand that when you read the book of Job, we come to a situation that now Job is being also tested by the devil. He doesn't know what's going on. I would really highly recommend that this year you read the book of Job. It is the oldest book in your Bible. It's placed where it is in the Bible, but read it and hear the words that Job spoke. So Job now is in a situation where he is where he says in verse 12, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Notice Job said it. He said that he esteemed the word of God, his words, above his necessary food. Job, when you consider Job for a moment, just like Jesus being in the wilderness, now here we have Job, and Job has lost everything. He's been stripped of everything. And this all took place because one day the sons of God were before the throne, and Satan appeared, and God started bragging on Job, and God said to Satan, "Had thou considered thy servant Job?" Now you'll know the rest of the story, but twice what happens is that Job loses everything he had. He was a blessed man. He was a man that feareth God. He lost everything, and then he lost his health. you have the situation where you have his friends who come to talk with him, but I want you to hear what Job says while he is literally stripped of everything he has, and he's in a state where he doesn't know or understand exactly what's going on, because what has taken place has been in heaven. Then Job answered in verse 1 and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter, and he is bitter. My stroke is heavy than my groaning." Read the story of Job. "Oh, that I knew where I might find him," talking about God, "that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me." You know, God never gave us a book that we can't understand, amen? Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. You know, there are times in our life that God will seem far and distant from us. We can be like in a dark room, not knowing where he is, but we know he's there. Remember Jesus said, "All power is given unto me." And he said, "I will never leave thee." Now, Jesus Christ, now seated on the right hand of God, has the omniscient power. He also has not just omniscient power, but he also has omnipresence. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. "But he knoweth the way that I take," Job said in verse 10. "When he have tried me," and notice what he says, "when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot have held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither," this is what Job says, "neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." You know, when you consider Job was the one who said, he said in chapter 19, he says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." You know, Job mentioned the first and second advent in one breath there. He says, "I know my Redeemer liveth." And do you know God like that? Do you know him as your Redeemer? Do you understand that his words are your necessary food? Do you understand what Jesus Christ has done for you at Calvary? Do you understand the cleansing power that we have in God? And all this is based on one thing, and that's the Word of God. You know, so when you consider Job said it. Also, I want you to consider David. Now, obviously, a lot of you know David, but consider David himself. David said in Psalm 119, verse 140. Now, David wrote the book of Psalms. Understand, David was a man that was chased by Saul. Saul was a type of antichrist, or has the spirit of antichrist. I'll come to that in a moment. But when you consider the life of David and consider what he said, and he said this, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." You know, David looked at the word of God as being pure. He said, "His servant loveth it." You realize that when David said something about the word of God, he's applying to an attribute that it has, a thing that, you know, is needed, especially when we consider that these words are a necessary food. He was the word of God, he was chased by a man, but he said, "In every spirit that confess by a man that," I'll come back to that. But when you consider what David is saying about the word of God being pure, and a man that was, I'll just read it to you, where, remember David said also in Psalm 119, he says, "Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed there according to the word." You know, there's something that David knew and understood about the Bible that no other book can do. And he talks about the cleansing power of the book, the words itself. Jesus Christ himself said it. He said, you know, he said in John 15:3, he says, "Now you're clean for the word which I have spoken unto you." David says it's pure. Jesus Christ said, it cleanses us. It has a cleansing agent in us. Paul said to the church that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. There's something about the word of God that is just more than just our necessary food. David said it's pure. He loves it. It cleanses us. It has an agent that nothing else does. You know, as the old timers used to say, my sins will keep me from this book. And this book will keep me from my sins. You know, there's something special about the Bible. There's something that only it can do. It has a cleansing agent. It's an agent that can build us and strengthen us in our God, our Saviour. But when you consider David was talking about it being pure, and when you consider that he was being chased by a man that had was a type of, who had a spirit of Antichrist. And in the New Testament, John writes about it, and he says, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof ye have heard, where we have heard. You know, when you look at that it should come, even now already is in the world, understand that a spirit of Antichrist is a spirit, it's an unclean spirit. It's always attacking the deity or the preserved word of God that we have in our hands now. The spirit of Antichrist will not lead you into understanding what Christ said when he said that man should not live by bread alone. The Spirit of God will lead us back to Job and show us that how much the Word of God is esteemed above our necessary food. Both Jesus and Job were in a place where they were stripped of all those necessary things, but they both said one thing very clear, that the Word of God is the thing we need. David talks about it. Paul talks about it. Paul said it. Paul said in the New Testament, he said, holding forth the word of life that I might rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither laboured in vain. Paul talked about holding forth the word of life. You know, today, he also said to the church, I want you to listen to what Paul said to the church. You know, the church is the body of Christ, and we are believers that gather together. I want you to hear what Paul said about the church. And he said this in Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify it, talking about the Holy Ghost, and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. You know, listen to me. Worship will not do it. I will say that again. Our last lesson was on worship. Worship will not do it, but the washing of the water of the word of God will do it. You know, churches are unclean. Amen. They have missed the agent that will cleanse them, that will build them, that will give them the necessary food that they need to walk with Jesus Christ. They have lost the idea of the necessity of the Bible. They think worship somehow will do it. Worship will not do it, for the worship they have is worship of the worship. Last lesson on biblical thoughts was worshiping who? Jesus Christ. So these are just some thoughts to take along with you as you go through this, that we look at that Paul said it. You know, each believer this year would be a good idea to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 down to verse 16. Read the book of Job. Understand 1 Corinthians 2, 9, because there you realize that you and I as believers have a spiritual need. The only one who can fill that need is the Holy Spirit. And he does that by comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And those things are only found in the Word of God. It's a spiritual book. You need, believer, you need the words of God. So it's necessary. It's necessary to our needs. It's necessary for the year to come. It's necessary. You've got to understand when you look at your King James Bible that at the end of Revelation there's a warning given, and the warning is in Revelation 22:18. I want you to think of the warning. Think of a book that has 66 books in it. book that was written over 4,000 years. It ends with a warning. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. You know, we've got to stop adding things to our lives. We've got to stop adding things. You got to understand that Jesus Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone. Stop adding things to your life. But start to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Believer, do you understand that you have the word of God in your hand? Do you understand that you have Christ in you? Do you understand it is the Bible that you need to read? Understand it's your sins that will keep you from the book, and this book will keep you from your sins. Why do you say that, Brother Simon? Because I'm going to tell you why. If I'm cleansed by the word of God, it'll keep me from my sins. It will stop me adding things to my life. It'll also do this, and this is very important. It'll make my walk not on the outside of myself. It'll make my walk from the inside. See, we as believers have a spiritual need. We need to live from the inside out, not from the outside in. And the only book that will help us do that is the Bible. You need not to look at things this year. Don't react to what's going on around you. That's because you're weak inside. The Bible says that they that love the law and nothing shall offend them. Is there things in your life this year that offend you? If you're being offended, it means that you're weak spiritually within. You need to get back in the Bible and understand that it'll cleanse you. It'll strengthen you. You will not be offended. You won't react to the problems we have in life. You won't react to the relationships that are around you. You'll become a blessing. You know, as I've often said, the book will change you and you will change others. I just hope maybe that these little thoughts can be an encouragement to realize what you have in your hand. I'm doing a series this year, what we have. One thing you have is the written word of God, and it's been preserved for you. Thank you for your time.